Borderlands Theater in Tucson, Arizona, is a small company with an annual budget of around $200,000, and like many regional theaters, large and small, it barely gets by financially. As part of our series, American Stages, NPR's Netta Ulaby reports that Borderlands is finding creative ways to stay afloat.
This is how the cast of a Borderlands play reacted when they learned this piece is about money.
Because we have no money.
It's not always laughs for Borderlands director Barclay Goldsmith, who's been running the theater for almost 20 years.
The financial situation is tough. It's always been tough.
Right now, Goldsmith is rehearsing a play called Guantanamo.
We might give you a couple rounded vowels here and there, but I wouldn't worry about
Guantanamo is a documentary play based on interviews with real-life British citizens, mostly of Arab or Pakistani descent. All were Guantanamo prisoners, some for years, before being released.
The main questioning was in another place. And then that's when I, you know, the kicking and all that. And then they took me out to the main prison, a political prison that they have. And then I was in isolation for 2 weeks.
Guantanamo got generally terrific reviews in London and New York, where it opened last year. But Borderlands is only the second American theater to mount a full production. Barclay Goldsmith believes such theater is creatively essential, if not always profitable.
When you start a theater company, it's maybe like planning to have children, and it's a great joy, and at the same time, there are a lot of surprises and hard times too sometimes.
Borderlands shows are often bilingual, English and Spanish, as befits a theater whose name evokes a sense of place.
And that includes the U.S. Southwest and Northern Mexico, and we focus on the Mexicano, Chicano, Latino voices as the core voices that we nurture and support.
The border metaphor compels the company to explore global understandings of what it represents.
Border people, we think, in the best sense of the word, are citizens of the world.
But the border is what the company teeters on financially, and it shares that tenuous position with most American regional theaters. Bruce Whitaker runs the National Corporate Theater Fund. It helps support 11 regional theaters with national reputations, like the Goodman in Chicago and the Guthrie in Minneapolis.
Some of our largest theaters, with budgets between $10 and $20 million, are balancing their budgets on razor-thin margins of a few thousand dollars.
It's often those theaters that bring new plays to national attention, although Borderlands has an unusual commitment to do that for a theater of its size. Among theaters benefiting from the National Corporate Theater Fund is the Mark Taper Forum in Los Angeles. A few years ago, it premiered a play that was Borderlands' most recent show.
You were interested in living in or living out?
Living out.
Living out concerns border people. In this case, a young woman illegally seeking work as a nanny.
I was born in El Salvador.
Oh, good God, everybody is from El Salvador these days. What happened to all the Mexicans?
I don't know.
Living Out's respectable ticket sales did not cover such costs as theater rental and paying some equity actors. Ben Cameron runs the Theater Communications Group, an umbrella organization for hundreds of regional theaters. He says few companies are supported through ticket sales alone.
That the typical not-for-profit theater, for every dollar they spend, 53 cents of that comes from the box office. But 47 cents out of every dollar has to be raised through charitable contributions from foundations, corporations, government, or individual.
Many regional theaters owe their existence to government grants from the early 1960s that have since evaporated. Robert Brustein founded two respected repertory theaters.
There was a time, right after Sputnik, when America developed an inferiority complex and felt that it was undereducated and also undercultured. And a lot of money came from the federal government, it was the beginning of the National Endowment for the Arts, to go and try and improve our culture. It wasn't much, but it was enough really to spark this resident theater movement and to create hundreds of theaters throughout the country.
Keeping those theaters alive now means relying on massive private support that's dwindled since 9/11. Ben Cameron.
Corporations have changed their priorities. In fact, we had a study the prior year that we saw 48% of corporations that had supported theater before have abandoned it.
Abandoned as corporations have gone global and their charity less local. So regional theaters have refocused on appeals to individuals.
Yes, lots of phone calls.
Alita Wilson-Gunn is Borderland's marketing manager. She's also an actress with the company.
Lots of mailings, lots of phone calls.
Who makes the phone calls? Do you have a phone bank or?
Me.
Cultivating individual donors is daunting for small theaters short on staff and resources. Ben Cameron.
It's always been easier to say, I'll go after a foundation and get one $25,000 grant, if I'm lucky, as opposed to saying, now I need to go out and find 25 different individuals to give me $1,000 each.
Hi, I need two tickets, please.
There were three of us.
Even getting ticket buyers has become more difficult. Regional theaters pioneered the idea of subscription seasons, but they're finding them harder to sell.
You used to be able to run a theater and say, well, I'll do Hamlet, I'll do Midsummer Night's Dream, but I can do this new play that nobody's ever heard of, and still, because I have a subscriber base, I know at least 3,000 people will show up for it, and they'll start my word of mouth. So it allowed you to be a little more adventurous.
Adventurous, these days, means revamping subscription plans. Cameron says the Sledgehammer Theater in San Diego abolished subscriptions entirely. Instead, once you buy a ticket, you can see the show as many times as you want.
And what they found is somebody will love a show, they'll go home, they'll get on the phone, and they'll call two of their friends and say, I'm going back to this show, and you are coming with me. I've already seen the show. It's not a gamble. You're going to love it. In a sense, they're using their audience to do their targeted audience development for them.
Borderlands 2 is taking an innovative approach to broaden its audience, says Barclay Goldsmith.
A lot of the thinking right now is, well, if you want to draw a Latino audience, you go to a Latino organization. But sometimes, no, you go to a trade union.
For Living Out, Borderlands offered discounts to immigrant rights groups, churches, and lawyers' associations, who were invited to analyze the play on post-show panels.
But at the end where she says, when is a mother not a mother? And I thought that that was just...
Goldsmith hopes these people will return to Borderlands, even for plays that don't specifically target them. And every spring, Goldsmith faces his accountants and decides if the theater can survive. Ben Cameron.
You know, it's a scary moment.
Cameron says the costs of running regional theaters have never been so high.
Just 3 years ago, 71% of our theaters were running a surplus on an annual basis. Last year, 59% ran a deficit. So we've basically doubled the number of theaters running a deficit in a three-year period.
Borderlands is one of those theaters. Its debt is about a tenth of its total budget. Artistic director Barclay Goldsmith says financial survival is an ongoing challenge. But he's confident that Borderlands Theater will find a way, as it does every year, to ensure this is not its last season. Neto Ulibi, NPR News.
You can hear extended samples from the Borderlands Theater production Living Out and explore other stories in our regional theater series at our website, npr.org.